Good afternoon, Little Saigon and those places that exist and currently, well, maybe they don't exist. Good afternoon to the boundaries between our solar system and those nearby places and spaces that are filled with interstellar ice cubes. Good afternoon to the people of the inner Earth, the people, the Hyperboreans, who live on the inside of a great Dyson sphere we call Earth, next to that unshielded reactor a few thousand miles away. Good afternoon to all those who are currently traveling in cars, stuck in traffic, riding the train. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all the people east and west of the Mississippi. Good afternoon to all the people in Canada, too. Indeed, it's Tuesday, February the 11th, 2020, and that's right, it's right around 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, here in the fantastically, spectacularly gray, nasty-ass, silvery sky day that is Seattle today. Really, really nasty gray sky. Nasty and gray and polluted and toxic, but from what I'm told by the weatherman, perfectly normal. Sanguine. The word sanguine, spelled Sierra Alpha November Golf Uniform India November Echo. The word sanguine, which can be said to mean blood red, also means a kind of furious, obstinate optimism, you know, filled with passion, a passionate optimism. Despite difficult circumstances, you're sanguine. Your circumstances are shit, but you're kind of optimistic, and you believe in yourself. So you're sanguine, you're blood red. I was just thinking about that today. I was wondering if I'm sanguine. Like, am I furiously optimistic given circumstances are terrible? Or am I something else? Because I don't know that anybody would accuse me of optimism. The problem is how do you define optimism at this point in human history? Like, what are you optimistic about? If you're optimistic about shit that's murdering people, then it's kind of hard for me to jump on that train. You see my fucking point. Indeed. Sanguine. Am I sanguine? I don't know. Probably not. So, I think I may have mentioned this already, but, But the weed prices are going up. food prices have been going up. And there have been really weird King County Metro community transit and Puget Sound transit interruptions. It's been weird. Been very, very strange. The weird interruptions, the situations that don't make a lot of sense unless a couple things are happening. Number one, drivers are starting to get sick, but no one wants to talk about it. And I don't know if that's the case. Or number two, King County, with the help of FEMA, is currently training drivers. They're sending them to basically NBC training. That's nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare training. The same kind of training you might get if you're a private, you know, in the military, basically. Training on how to put on your equipment. MOP 1, MOP 2, MOP 3, MOP 4. These are mission operation, or I should say mission readiness or operational readiness levels. And this relates to protection from chemical and biological weapons. So if you are going to redirect bus drivers to pick up the infected and take them to the quarantine zone, you probably would want to put those drivers through some basic, nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare training. Probably. In fact, you probably even assign an NBC unit from the National Guard to help them out with this. Yeah. But I don't know what's really going on, folks, and I did not want to go to Harborview today, so if you want to call me a lazy bastard, you can. I did have a good day, though. We interviewed Dr. Guy McPherson, and I should say I thought the interview went really well. I expected him to be a professional, intelligent guest, and he was. I think he was worried, you know, rightly so, that I was going to, like, attack him or something. And no, I wasn't going to do that. Even if I didn't agree with him, which I'm not sure to what extent I do, I still think he is a real person. I don't think he's a fake. And he's taken a stand intellectually that is extremely difficult, which you kind of have to applaud. Even if you don't agree with him, you kind of have to, if you want to live in a free society, which we don't really have, but let's say we did. If you want to live in a free society, you sort of have to applaud the outliers that have the courage to basically say, no, the emperor has no clothes. And I think this is an extreme case of that. But yeah, Dr. McPherson is one of those people that you really should listen to, even if you disagree. So the interview went well, and I'm happy about that. Lots of good hits from listeners. That's good. So I don't know what's going on. I went shopping for food yesterday, and, you know, just full disclosure, I don't really buy fancy food. I'd prefer to be keto. Problem is, I hate to break it to you guys, keto's expensive. If you want to do it right, if you want to consume meat that is not totally polluted, keto's kind of expensive. The sad reality is that the grain-based foods are cheaper. So I went and I bought some pasta and some tomato sauce and some eggs, you know, protein I can afford, eggs and other things. And I bought some soup. And I don't want to say what kind of soup, but here's the deal. Pretty much every time I've been to this grocery store, in the last 2 years, all the soup has been on some type of sale. Like, you know, basically a can for a dollar, if I can keep it simple. And then suddenly, the other day I go there, I mean yesterday, and there are no sales in the soup aisle, and all of a sudden, everything is like three times more expensive. Or, I, you know, you could argue, well, Dan, no, they just removed the sales. Like, well, I know they did that, but you need to think about that too. Was it really a sale? If that's what happened, I don't know. It probably was simply a lower price. It helps people to pretend, well, it was a sale, Dan. But no, if the sale happens every single day for 2 years and then suddenly it's over, I think that's called a price increase. And yeah, So I would say this. I would tenuously state the following, that food prices are creeping up, and if things get worse, I think food prices are going to creep up fast. You know, it's funny when people look at something like this pandemic, they focus on the virus, but I think I've said this before, you kind of have to think about what the virus could trigger, what the virus could cause. One thing it could trigger is famine. Anywho, we spoke about that a little bit yesterday. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Let's do a plague update, update on the plague. And of course, I go to Zero Hedge, not that I'm claiming it's the best source. And this was published or updated today, this afternoon, around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Headline: Hubei, that's the province, I think, of Hubei, reports another 94 deaths, bringing global total of deaths from the coronavirus to 1,112. Well, we might be getting closer to the truth here, I don't know. Two inmates at a UK prison are being tested for coronavirus and have been restricted to their cells. Oops. 13th case diagnosed in San Diego was a evacuee rescued from Wuhan. She was briefly accidentally released. Fuck. Latest numbers bring the global totals for cases and deaths to 44,753 cases and 1,112, 12 deaths. That's bad. CNB's Eunice Yoon reports on China's sluggish return to work. Well, gee, get back to work, China. Fuck. Hong Kong building residents quarantined over fears virus spread via pipes. Wow, virus spread via pipes. That's not so good. Cruise ship with zero novel coronavirus cases refused entry to fourth port in danger of running out of food. That's fucking crazy shit right there. Yeah, cruise ship with zero novel coronavirus cases refused entry to fourth port of entry, in danger of running out of food. I wonder what's happening on that cruise ship right now. Oh boy. What sort of terrible ravages are happening in the charnel house of that ship? Are they eating the old people yet? They'll soon start eating the old people. Yeah, I don't know about a boat running out of food. That sounds about as terrible as a situation can get. I'm sure they can make their own water, but the food issue is going to get pretty bad. And yet, there are people who suffer from illnesses where if they don't get food, they die. You know, people with hypoglycemia and shit like that. It's no joke, people. It's a plague ship. And it ain't the 14th century. Beijing fires top health officials in Hubei, summons others to Beijing for execution, excuse me, explanation. Did I say execution? No, I meant explanation. Scientists in Hong Kong and the mainland present vastly different takes on virus. Two Japanese men test positive but were accidentally released. Fuck. Need to stop doing that. President Xi says China will be more prosperous after outbreak. That's because President Xi knows the secret power of Reverso Bastiat. Yes, there was a Frederick Bastiat in the 19th century. He wrote a great work called The Law. But there was also Reverso Bastiat, who lived on another planet nearby. He used to say things like, "Don't you want that fucking glassmaker to have a job, you fuck? Why don't you pick up that brick and toss it through the window, asshole? Don't you care about glassmakers?" Don't you care about the fucking glassmakers, you Nazi baker fuck? Fucker. Yeah, I love it when politicians or tyrants or dictators say shit like, "Well, thank God for the fucking virus, you know, it's how we're gonna get that economic growth next year." Yep, Paul Krugman has said shit like that, like, "Wouldn't it be great if the aliens attacked?" I think he said that in 2010. And then about the same time, our good friend Nancy Pelosi, right around the time of the Haitian earthquake, "Well, that earthquake's gonna be really good for their economy." Yeah, it was great. It was great, Nancy. Maybe San Francisco would do better with a, you know, a 10 on the Richter scale. Indeed, indeed. I can't believe it. So, you know, it's like saying the virus exists to improve the economy is one of the most depressing things that can come out of a human being's mouth in 2020, considering that we're supposed to be intelligent creatures. But this is horrible. Experts suspicious about how Indonesia hasn't reported any virus cases. Well, that is suspicious, isn't it? Z also reportedly warned top officials that efforts to contain the virus had gone too far. Well, that's interesting. CDC admits lab mix-up led to coronavirus patient being briefly released back to quarantine. Another citizen journalist goes missing in China. Must be Tuesday. Hilton warns travel numbers could be impacted for up to a year after Under Armour saw shares plunge on sales warning. Oh, how are we going to get our clean underwear? Fuck. Fed person Bullard. I think Bullard's a Fed person, a regional Fed or some type of Fed son of a bitch. Regional Fed. Bullard warns virus still major tail risk for U.S. economy and markets. Well, gee. I mean, China says it's going to be good for the economy. What the fuck's wrong with you, Bullard? Germany confirms 2 more cases, bringing the total 14. Good job, Germany. Good job, Germany. Deutschland, über alles, 14. Good job. Wall Street Journal publishes harrowing stories showing China's coronavirus tests aren't very accurate. So that is our plague update for Tuesday, February the 11th, 2020. So far, I have not heard or seen a stream of helicopters heading for Harborview. Now, why would that be relevant? Well, they got a helipad. It is a level one trauma center, and this magical virus appears to have a fairly high complications rate, which means what? Rich people with complications getting picked up by the helicopter on the other side of Lake Washington, because, hey, traffic. So, yeah. I haven't really heard a lot. I thought I just heard a helicopter. It was funny. I haven't heard a ton of extra helicopters. So I'm of the mind that if this is a real thing, it's still not quite hitting that hard here yet. But here's some scary stuff. Before we switch topics, here's a scary thing, I think. I heard from Chris Martinson's site that the incubation for this virus could be as long as 24 days. Now, during this incubation period, I don't know whether or not people are contagious. They do believe people are contagious while asymptomatic. And then there are these people called super spreaders, which I thought was like, you know, the name of, the name of a certain type of stripper at the strip club. But no, the super spreaders, they go around and they spread the disease to a lot of people without knowing they're sick. Typhoid Mary syndrome, right? Anywho, if this thing does have a 24-day incubation period, then that probably would be fairly fucking bad, because it means that a lot of people can get a long ways away, all sorts of directions, before anyone knows that they're sick or even that they are contagious and that they're infecting other people. So that is the plague update for today, but we'll see what happens down the road, people. Y'all know I live in Death Zone 81, the Pam Grier sexy death zone. You know that this death zone will be filled with madness and crazy, the crazy that can't possibly be understood. This will be the death zone known as the death zone of chaos and madness. This will be the death zone where people fashion their own weapons out of Pepsi bottles. This will be the death zone where you'll see scantily clad women running down the street. Scantily clad women running down the street, being chased by other scantily clad women. Because these are lesbian barbarians, and they're chasing after their prey. Next topic, trigger warning, we're going to talk about guns and weapons, okay? You may not know this, but prior to 2016, I called myself a libertarian. Prior to the year 2008, I called myself a small government George F. Will Republican. And that's more or less my political history. I started out as a small government Republican, which means I started out in an impossible world, believing in impossible shit that would never, ever, ever happen. And the only place that I ended up with, at, you know, after that was the Libertarian Party. And they'd tell me things like, Dan, if we can just get all the dog catcher jobs, if we can just get on every, you know, town council, if we can get on the fucking school board, Dan, soon we'll have so many school boards, we'll take over America. And then I'll ask, well, how long should this take? And I get the same answer that Victor Kardelge, I think it was Victor Kardelge, gave Marshall Tito when Marshall Tito asked, when will we achieve true communism? And so Kardelge goes back to his communist buddies at the university and says, listen, the boss wants to know how long until we achieve perfect communism in Yugoslavia, a country that does not exist anymore. And Kardelge did the math with his communist friends, and he figured this out. He said, listen, Marshall Tito, you're going to have pure communism, assuming you don't fuck this up, man, in approximately 300 years. So my last stop before becoming, or not becoming, before accepting that I was an anarchist was the Libertarian Party. And I'll remember that last day. I don't remember the precise day, but it was Gary Johnson telling people to bake the cake. And I'm thinking to myself, well, gee. Oh, here comes a Life Flight helicopter. I think. Yeah. Anywho, that doesn't mean anything. That's just one Life Flight. That's just one. One Life Flight helicopter, just a drop in the bucket. Now, when I start seeing these things every 30 minutes, and also I see a couple National Guard Chinooks show up, then I'll say, okay, this is getting interesting. There are people in Redmond and Bellevue, like our oil trader friend, they're not feeling so good. And the rich people, they don't go to the quarantine zone. They go to the fancy hospital. Well, until it fills up. Once it fills up, there's no hospital for anybody but the death zones. Everyone will be dumped in the death zones to live, to thrive, to survive. Indeed. Yeah, so why did I go off on that tangent about where I began and where I ended up, or where I always were, you know, where I was, right? Whatever. I'm a bit off my game. I had a good interview this morning, but sometimes something good happens and it means something bad has to happen. I want to talk about gun control and why it's stupid. Now, there are lots of reasons why gun control is stupid. I won't go into all of them. But one of the assumptions behind gun control is at least it'll slow down the progression of weapons and small arms in the hands of ordinary people. Kind of like how prohibition reduced the number of people drinking in this country. Yeah, that never worked. Not even when the probie agents were poisoning liquor and handing it out to people so they die. Oh, did you ever read that in history books about the prohibition agents poisoning alcohol so people would die? I guess they didn't teach that in your fucking history book. If we have any type of gun control in this country where guns are forbidden, total prohibition, I think you're going to see very advanced weapons within about a year. I mean extremely advanced. Now, what we're probably going to have is this slow march towards total prohibition, which happened in the UK, which happened in Australia, and which happens in a lot of quote-unquote liberal Western democracies. First they say, oh, you can't have a machine gun, only the cops can have those. Then they tell you, well, and you can have one in this country with a federal license, let's just be clear. You can have a machine gun in America, you just have to have a federal license for it. Isn't it great how in 1787, the scumbags of the revolution stole the revolution, stole the freedom, and then sold it back to us at 10 times the price? Isn't that kind of cool? Basically, we were a free country for about 5 years. 1783 to 1788, we were a free country. And then they stole all the freedom and they sold it back to you with a devil's contract. Oh yeah, well at first they didn't tax the good white people. At first they didn't abuse the nice, good white men of the East. What they did is they went after the Native Americans. They made sure that the slave trade continued. Yeah. At first, the army of our country mainly attacked Native Americans. Anywho, I don't want to go off on a tangent about what happened during the Articles of Confederation. Here's what I'm going to tell you. There are two ways in which the gun control thing can happen. It can happen all at once, like it did in Soviet Russia, like it did in Nazi Germany, like it's happened in other countries, all at once, instantaneously. Lots of ways you can do that too. You can do that with martial law. You can do that by just saying, guess what, people? I declare guns are illegal. Turn them in or you're going to go to jail. And people who have kids, I'm going to be blunt, folks. After seeing the first mom and dad perp walked and knowing the kids are going to go to Child Protective Services, that's good. Yeah, I think a lot of moms and dads will turn in their weapons. I'm not trying to be a dick, but I think they will. So it can happen all at once, or it can happen by slices. It can be, well, you know, you can't have machine guns, or you can't have, you know, weird bullets, or you can't have, you know, devices like bump stocks, and your magazines can only hold 8 rounds. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day and you find out that it is impossible to purchase a weapon legally in the United States of America. You will wake up one day, it'll be slow, it might take a few years, but you'll have to have a special insurance permit. Your health insurance prices will double or triple if you have a gun. Guess what? That's going to keep people from owning guns. And then there's the stigma. There's the stigma. There's the fact that people will socially, they'll isolate you, they'll label you depending upon where you live. I mean, if you live in the country, great, but if you live in Seattle, there'll be stigma. There'll be people ostracizing. Yeah, ostracism. But I really do. I think the net effect of gun control, whether slow or fast, is when you finally reach the point that you can no longer buy a gun legally, here's the question. Do you believe that people will simply stop buying guns? And not only do I answer no, but I think this is going to be like prohibition, but way more interesting. Because technology has reached the point where you just don't have to have the same kind of equipment to create a gun like you did 100 years ago, and a very useful gun. With some basic milling equipment, CNC, and ghost gunner equipment, you can produce a gun in your basement. You know, basically an AR-style assault rifle. And you can order the parts that you need online in a way that is very difficult to control. And that's just one way that a gun could be made without registration. But I'd like to go further, because I think the assumption is that people are stuck. If they can't get their M16s, they won't have weapons. And what I'm telling you is human beings are crafty as fuck. So this idea that they'll ban weapons and you won't have any weapons is crazy. It is the same as people saying we will ban alcohol and because of that, there'll be no more alcohol. That did not work. And this is far easier, folks. If you want to say which is easier, producing guns in your basement without being noticed or brewing alcohol, I'm going to let you in a little secret. The gun thing is easier, okay? Way fucking easier, okay? It doesn't require the same discipline. There's no growth cycle. Hell, you don't even have to operate according to a schedule. And if you want to get really crafty, you can build networks of people where certain people build certain parts. Maybe all you do is make triggers. This is basically networked mass production. So all of a sudden, the feds show up and say, what do you got there? Oh, I got a big old fucking, you know, box of triggers. And not even the whole trigger, just the little fucking tab. The little fucking half moon trigger, the trigger itself, not even the trigger assembly. Yeah, sure, the cops will probably say, well, that looks like a gun to me, because that's what they would do with weed back in the day. They'd say, that looks like weed, but here's going to be my next point. That kind of behavior is only going to antagonize people. It's only going to piss people off. That's my theory. I don't think it's going to be like, oh shit, they'll make triggers illegal. No. What happens is they're going to go after a few people, and then they're going to find out that the next time they visit someone's house and try to take their kids to Child Protective Services, what's waiting for them is the first firefight. And then there'll be the second firefight. And it won't matter if the dude at home loses, because I promise you, a lot of cops will die. A lot of National Guard will die. A lot of state police will die. Why? Because we're doing something we don't need to do. The guns that go out and kill people, typically, they're not the guns that people buy legally. And I don't want to get into the suicide thing. Because if you say, well, what about suicide? You know what? Suicide is an issue. People will still kill themselves if they don't have guns. They will find any way they have to. Especially today. Have you ever researched, like, hardcore supermax prisons? Prisons where you'd say to yourself, well, this prison is so fucking protected. The walls are so high that nothing happens in the prison unless the warden wants it to happen. What if I told you that's bullshit? What if I told you that prisoners with extraordinarily low technology and not a lot of engineering or computer resources, prisoners make things like compound bows, blow darts, blow guns. And obviously, shivs. How are you going to shank somebody in the shower at Shawshank if you don't have a shiv? Yeah, I'm a bit off my game tonight. You need to forgive me. But before we switch to the next topic, I'd like to go down a list of weapons that I was thinking about just yesterday when I read that, here's the thing. I read a tweet where someone was talking about gun control, and then my immediate response was, holy fuck, bring it on. Like, here's the thing. I would, at this point, I say, elect Bernie Sanders, bring on the communism, and bring on the gun control, because it will only usher the necessary steps. It won't work. It can't succeed. It can only fail. And the young people that are so enamored by communism, okay, I don't know how to phrase this, but they have the consistency, the steadfastness of lemmings on crack. I think the first moment they realize that they're going to have power outages and they can't use their iPhone, they're probably going to start looking at Bernie a little weird. And Bernie will say, well, listen, we're just making the sacrifices for Israel. I mean, Israel, I mean the earth. We're making sacrifices for Israel. I mean, the earth. And then the second time something like that happens, like, well, yeah, that's great, but it looks like Israel's doing okay. They got 24/7 electricity. So I say bring on Bernie, because I am convinced that if we get hardcore gun control, you will see for the first time in about 100 years a revolution in small arms design. You're going to see small arms that people have been thinking about but haven't built because there's been no point. For example, I was thinking just yesterday that plastique, which is a homemade explosive which you can use electricity to trigger. What if you took 0.177 pellets and filled them with a little bit of plastique and then fired that out of a pellet gun? And then go a step further, figure out a way to autoload those. I don't think it would be that hard to do. All of a sudden, you've got a tiny little projectile that probably could be forced to go very fast. And you have a way of producing propellant, and the electricity could be used to trigger it. You could create a really rapid fire 177 handheld, weapon. It could weigh as much as the fucking a Glock and hold like 300 or 400 rounds. And it would probably, have a battery pack, but that little handheld 177 that uses plastique instead of smokeless gunpowder, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't as effective or more effective than other weapons. And that's the kind of shit that theoretically you could build at home. Like, you could probably even use air rifle barrels as long as you calculate the right amount of propellant. It's about the propellant. Too much, you'll blow the barrel. Too little, the pellet gets stuck in it. What about laser blinders and burners? I've seen kids take regular semiconductor lasers, which are gallium arsenide lasers. These are basically LEDs. But I've seen kids, basically pull together the quote unquote legal lasers, the ones that have the legal wattage, but combine several into a single target beam. And that shit looks cool. You can go on YouTube, research homemade laser rifles. There's kids already out there building these things. And at a distance of 10 feet, they don't look. I mean, I wouldn't want someone to shoot me in the eye with one of these because I'd probably be blind in that eye. So, laser blinders and burners. I could see people building these things out. I could see people designing actual functional flamethrowers. I'm not talking about the boring company bullshit. I'm talking about a flamethrower that can shoot a flame 100 to 200 feet, maybe further. People are going to do that. Why? Because that kind of thing could be built in your basement. And if you're being told you don't have a right to defend yourself, why wouldn't you potentially get your black market flamethrower and keep it someplace just in case, the pirates show up? I think archery, like modern archery, contemporary archery is underrated. I think that you could use teams of archers in an urban environment in a way that would be very effective. Now, are you ever going to be one-to-one effective? No. But give me six archers and I will take out 2 to 3 people, which is to say that six archers, knowing what they're doing, can move around and attack very stealthily while the people with firearms, even with suppressors, are going to give themselves away. The archers, they can shoot, move every direction, and if you've got six of them, or rather a whole squad, let's say you had a squad of archers in your little platoon, wherever you're at, a squad of archers could cause a lot of problems and do a good job defending a position. So, yeah. Cannons. Cannons could make a comeback. Why? Because if you're going to go through the trouble of breaking the law, why not go big? So I could see people building cannons. It is not a technical impossibility. Yeah, it's hard to get the barrels, but here's the thing. There are a lot of things in contemporary society that have similar features of tensile strength and overall strength to a gun barrel. There are pipes you can buy in the oil industry that have to have extremely high gauges for controlling pressure. So if your question is, how do I make the barrels? Well, do a little research. I think you could find high tensile strength pipes out there that could be repurposed into a cannon. And the reason why I say cannon is because with a cannon, you can project a lot of material. You can use grape shot, which is basically a load of lead ball inside of a case, so that essentially it acts like a big shotgun. You can use regular projectile, and if you're good, maybe you can use explosive if you can engineer it. But yeah, I think people might build cannons, because why not? If you make it illegal, why wouldn't you go all the way? Rail guns. Before you joke about rail guns, I've seen online people beginning to build little fucking shoulder-fired rail guns. And like that, you know, 177 pellet example, imagine just a metallic BB, like a 177 BB. Because this would be an interesting railgun project. Design a railgun to fire a BB, because you could feed the BBs in a gravity feed mechanism that could be quite seamless, and every time a BB gets into the fucking gate, it fires. So essentially, when you pull the trigger, you're just going to feed the BBs into the gate, and then one at a time, they fire. I don't know what your rate of fire might be, but the thing about rail guns is that in theory, you could get something like a BB going very fast. And again, you have to experiment. But these are the things I think we could see in the black market, rail guns available if we get... This is what's so funny and so counterintuitive to gun control people don't get. We could see rail guns as a result of gun control. Because the thing about gun control is that they're going to be doing what every type of prohibition does. They'll be focused on the wrong beast, and a new beast will pop up, and they won't know anything about it. It's like cocaine versus crack. You know, they'll be focused on the yayo, and you're actually spreading the rock. So I think you're going to see rail guns on the black market. And again, one way to manufacture this stuff is, like I said, network-based, encrypted networks of people making parts, trading parts. And like I said, they're going to have to use strong encryption, maybe even sneakernet, which means maybe the communication has to go by actual people holding a fucking SD card and moving it from A to B. But the point is, you keep the network flat. So some dude in Washington State, all he does is make trigger assemblies. And some dude in Montana, all that guy does is makes the lowers. And if you do this, no one's going to have a complete, you know, in terms of manufacturing, no one's going to have all the pieces for a gun. They'll simply have pieces of the gun. And then it's just a question of final assembly, which means you order every piece online, you get it. But again, what does that mean? Does that mean Tor? Does that mean, you know, the dark web? Probably. I mean, this is the thing. It isn't just going to be about the new guns. It's going to be about new kinds of security. If they go down this road, it will be an arms race. And it will be an arms race they cannot win. How about confined plasma pulse rifles? That's right. What if you could build up a plasma inside of a system and then confine it and then accelerate the plasma as a kind of weapon? Again, this is hypothetical, but this doesn't require any gunpowder. This is just electronics, electricity, and some physics. Electrical arc weapons. These are weapons that use tremendous amounts of electricity to create an arc. Now, these are also difficult to aim because they really can't be aimed very well, but I can imagine these weapons being used on an area basis for defense. Complete the circuit. You don't want to be that guy. Homemade rocket launchers. Yeah, people are probably going to build rocket launchers, folks, in order to defend themselves. Acid and fog spray. Yeah, imagine a person carrying pepper spray, but instead of it being pepper spray, it's hydrochloric acid. And then I think, on top of all this, you're probably going to see a renaissance of black powder. And when I say renaissance, this is what I mean. You're probably going to see potentially the beginnings of tactical black powder, which means that people rethinking not just how they're making it, and I think making it from scratch, which means you're not going to buy it. For this to work, you have to make everything from scratch. But yeah, imagine a reinvention of black powder, but around contemporary alloys, materials, and stuff you can do with a 3D printer. You could see black powder weapons that could be kind of amazing if they rethink design. Because again, it's a question of strengths and weaknesses. All these weapons have strengths and weaknesses, just like the weapons you can currently buy legally. And here's the other thing too, I haven't mentioned the weapon that's not on the list. Because you're going to have millions of people out there, billions of people, but at least in America, millions, who are going to be coming up with new types of weapons that they can sell because nobody can legally buy one. And I know you're going to say, Dan, there's no way they do this, and we'll just control the stuff for building things. Yeah, I mean, you can add complexity, and that complexity will destroy you, but it won't succeed. I mean, it's true that adding more cops will cost more money, and that means the government goes bankrupt faster, but I don't think it'll actually fix anything. I think the more prohibition you have, the smarter the black market will get. People will get their weapons. And if we go down the road of an ironclad kind of gun control, it's not just that we'll get our weapons, but we'll get them completely privately. And we'll probably get weapons way more dangerous than anything we can buy today. And when I say dangerous, I mean to the person you're trying to kill. I don't mean unsafe. Okay, yeah, it's possible that some of the homebrew shit's dangerous, but the most likely outcome, it'll simply be dangerous to the people that you're shooting at. Imagine a hydrogen-fueled machine gun, a machine gun fueled by compressed hydrogen. Compressed hydrogen that you can harvest yourself from water with solar panels. This compressed hydrogen gun shoots buckshot, little lead BBs, pretty big actually. I mean, I think that's like, is it 32 caliber or whatever? But the point is, the buckshot in there, yeah, your weapon will shoot those. And maybe it'll have a tube cartridge loading system, and maybe you'll use a system of lubrication as well, so the feed is good and fluid. But the idea is simple. You're going to use a cartridge of hydrogen instead of using, instead of using gunpowder or smokeless gunpowder or some other propellant. What about that? Why couldn't that be made? It's a question of gas and pressure and velocity. I can tell you that if hydrogen is useful for sending rockets into space, my guess is, at the right pressure inside of a combustion chamber, you can project a projectile pretty fucking fast. And yeah, will this be the lightest weapon ever? No, it probably won't be. But it might also have a higher rate of fire. Again, We're talking about different kinds of technologies and the restrictions that exist if you have a black market. I guess the moral of the story is prohibition will only lead to more dangerous weapons. Just like, what did prohibition really lead to? More dangerous alcohol, more alcoholism, more hardcore drinking. It not only didn't solve those problems, it made those problems worse. It exacerbated them, right? Exacerbated. It's Tuesday. Exacerbation day. Exacerbation, not masturbation, but exacerbation. Next topic. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to talk about this, but so there's this nest outside the window of my apartment. It's a nest that I actually saw a crow building in May of 2018. It's still there, the nest, not the crow. No crows ever moved in. Maybe because I was there staring at them, looking like a predator, some type of egg thief. The thing is, in the last couple months, I've noticed a lot of creatures going to that nest. They're not going there to use it. They're going there looking for food. Today, I saw a couple squirrels climbing up the tree, looking in the nest, because they couldn't find any food. I'm not I'm not attributing any significance to the fact that a couple squirrels were looking for food in a nest, but it was just one of those things where in the last few months it seemed like it was getting harder and harder for the crows and other animals to find food. But I truly don't know what the meaning of this is. I don't. It's kind of like what I told Dr. McPherson. I said, you know, I believe you're an honest guy. I believe you're telling the truth from your perspective. But that doesn't mean I agree with you, because to agree with you is to agree with something that's terrible. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It's just we have to be honest. It's like saying, hey, the world's coming to an end. Do you agree? Well, even if I do agree, I mean, what the fuck, you know? But on the same, by the same token, denial's not good. And delusion is not good. And one of the reasons why we should confront these things, whether they're true or false, is because it's better to confront them than to hide from them or to pretend, you know, that they don't exist. Anyways, if you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it despite sometimes my podcasts are not as good as other times, if you enjoy it for reasons of magical, spectacular understanding, then I thank you. And what I would say is this: if you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of and helped out the people you love and care for, if you've done the things you need to do, including some things you don't need to do, and you still have money left over, you can donate to my podcast. There'll be links in the description of this podcast. There are also links on my SoundCloud channel. A link to Venmo and PayPal where you can donate money. And I would love it if you did. I really would. But you don't have to. And for this Thursday, February the 11th, 2020, I say good night, good morning, good afternoon, and just be careful out there with this fucking virus, is all I'm saying.